Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Thought Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. I see your background, Dan. I see something different. Where are you at? What man cave are you at?
I'm in an undisclosed location up in the mountains. Awesome. And I've got stuff on the wall that only this place can have. I've got some pictures from Iraq. I got a picture of my graduating flight class. I think there's a destroyed Iraqi tank, a Russian-made T-62 tank. And if you can see up in the back, I got a picture of two of my heroes growing up from Ohio, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, a great fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you go a little higher, you can see Buster Douglas, fourfold picture of him. Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson. Nobody expected it. He gets knocked down in the ninth and comes back in the tenth and knocks out Mike Tyson at a time, particularly when nobody thought that Tyson could be beat.
Yeah, that he was unbeatable at that time. Is Buster Douglas from your neck of the woods?
Yeah, yeah. I worked out with him a couple of times in his gym.
Oh,
yeah,
he's
from Columbus where I grew up. Yeah, wow. So I worked out with Buster, and I met Boom Boom over the years with some other – when I was fighting, training fighters and stuff in a local area. So I got to meet Boom Boom, and he's a terrific – both are just terrific, classy guys. Both, wow. They really are.
Wow. Awesome. Dan, you motivated me.
Good, because today's Veterans Day, man. We gotta you know what I mean? We got to shift from earthly battle to spiritual battle. You know what I mean? You got to, like the intro, stay ready. You got to stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
That's
right.
Constantly,
your rucksack should be constantly packed. You should be constantly ready to go to battle.
Amen. Hey, Dan, thank you for your service, by the way. Veterans Day. To all you veterans out there, God bless you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for keeping us safe in this country. Hey, I want to jump real quick into get the master teacher, Venerable Fulton Sheen. We got a short little clip. It's called The Demonic Today. It's part four. Want to just play that, and then we want to just have a very intelligent conversation about how it impacts us today. Mr. Engineer, can you play Fulton Sheen? Okay, I think Rich, he's getting the link right now. It'll be part four. But let me just, here it goes.
When we talk in our holy hour tonight, we will see another evidence of the demonic, so that we're not to think that it is spectacular, it's phenomenal, it is extraordinary. It isn't. And notice that in the New Testament, there were two priests who left, or no, two priests who were demonic, or at least, well, one I should not say perhaps is demonic, but the two mentioned that left were, one was Demas. Demas was the companion of Paul and Luke. And St. Paul says of him, Demas has gone back to the world. That's one kind. The kind that just go in for worldliness. The other kind stays in. They stay in to disrupt from within. Judas stayed in. And in the holy hour tonight, we will see how he stayed in. Now, who have the best comprehension of the demonic? Only those of us who are truly Christ-like. It is because we know what clear water is that we are offended by foul waters. It is only because we know Christ that we begin to see evil in its depth. Because evil is relational. Evil has no substance of its own. It is a parasite on goodness. And the more Christ-like we are, the deeper is our vision of the evils of the world and the evils that can creep into the church. How long this conflict with the forces of evil will last? Well, we do know. But now it is intensifying. And it centers so much in the Eucharist, which brings us to the necessity of the Holy Hour. I do not know whether you have many tabernacles robbed. We do. In one diocese, there were two country parishes within 7 miles of one another where the Blessed Sacrament was stolen. Corpses torn off the crucifix. No Christ on the cross. Where there is a priest who will offer the Black Mass, there's no need of stealing hosts. But there must be a consecrated host for a Black Mass. That is an absolute essential. For everything will be done backwards. The Our Father will be said backwards. Prayers will be said backwards. And when the priests join the movement, they have the body of Christ to re-crucify. So much so that some of our churches ask to have lights that are put in facing the tabernacle so that when anyone approaches the tabernacle, it breaks a circuit and an alarm goes off. We may be a little lax in our devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, but Satan is not. As the scriptures tell us, Satan believes. He believes. And this then is an additional reason for the Holy Hour. I just heard that one of your bishops made a classic remark, which I think deserves to be universalized. He said, I'll have to give up my alcoholic hour for the Holy Hour. I agree with that. That's all right. That's fine. That man ought to be immortalized. I like him. Now there are 1,000 times 10,000 roads down which any one of us may travel for a lifetime. But all of those roads are going to end in front of two faces. One, the merciful face of Christ, and the other, the miserific face of Satan. And either one of those faces will speak to us and say, "Mine." We have already spoken. We are Christ.
Jesus, night.
When we talk in our holy hour tonight, we will see another evidence of the demonic, so that we're not. It is extraordinary. It isn't.
Yep. Yeah.
And notice that in the New Testament, there were two priests who left, or no, two priests who were demonic.
Jesus 911, my name is Jess Romero. I'm here with Dan Schneider. Dan, there's a lot there to I want to break down and just have a discussion about this. I especially like the way it ended. But by the way, if I'm not in my studio in Phoenix, Arizona, I'm over here in Southern California. I'm here at headquarters for Virgin Most Powerful here in West Covina. So I'm here at HQ. I'm here with Terry. And I'm here with
I'm in a FARP, forward arming and refueling point. And an undisclosed bunker, so in the mountains. So we are going out and doing our missions. You're in headquarters back where the flagpole is, and I'm out in the doing reconnaissance missions out in the bush, so to speak. So yeah,
that's right. And by the way, Dan Bob Floyd wants to say hi to you. He's here with me as well. We're here for in Southern California for a couple of days. And yesterday was kind of interesting. Before we get into Fulton Sheen, let me tell you what we did yesterday. Bob Floyd and myself and another, we had an armed escort out here in Southern California. We went to different botanicas and we're going to go into some more today after the show. And we're walking in, asking questions, taking pictures, gathering into, of course, we're all prayed up, go to mass in the morning. You know, we are seriously sacramented up and have our sacramentals on. We pray before we go into these places. But it's because we're trying to see the infiltration of Santa Muerte, Santeria, Brujeria into the Southwest. And so I'm here with Bob Floyd, who's writing the script on this, and we'll see where this goes. But we also went to the main Santa Muerte temple here in downtown Los Angeles. It was the most awful experience I've ever felt. You can feel it. It's like if you walked into the abyss of hell and out. It's called Templo Santa Muerte. It's on Melrose Avenue. It is the most evil location. To me, it's like a portal straight to hell. And we went to another place in Burbank, which is another portal to hell. It's called the Crooked Path. It's a witchcraft store. We're in there asking questions, taking pictures. Let me tell you, just like the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass opens the portal to heaven, and I was there this morning and yesterday morning with Bob, there are certain places on planet Earth that open the portal to hell. And I can tell you that me and Bob Floyd and Armando, we walked into 8 of them yesterday. And we're still feeling the effects of them. But Dan, I want to talk about Fulton Sheen. He talks about two priests, and he says that one left Paul and Luke. His name was Demas, and he's gone back into the world. It reminds me of 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. And then Judas didn't leave. He stayed in the church and tried to infiltrate. So I want to ask you about the two ways that the diabolical attacks the Catholic Church. One, he causes clergy to leave. Number two, he causes them to become corrupt and stay in the church. We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. And may God richly bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, Lord, come to our assistance. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Dan, so we got two types of priests. Fulton Sheen talks about a priest that will leave for the world and become secular, just abandon his vocation. And that's caused by the diabolical, obviously. And then the second priest is one who stays in the church to disrupt the church. And then he talks about clear water. He says that we know what clear water is like and we're offended by foul water. So he's talking about, again, the infiltration of evil into the church. And it reminds me of what St. Maximilian Kolbe says. He said, quote, modern times will be dominated by Satan and will be more so in the future. Comment on those two things, Dan?
Yeah, interesting thing. He's quoting, he's talking about Demas from 2 Timothy 4:10. Literally, the Greek says, he agaped this age. You know, agape is the Christian word for love. It really was picked up and developed through Christianity. Peter is asked by Jesus, do you agape me? Do you agape me, right? Peter could only like him, filio, I have a fond care for you. You see this in Spanish. You know, you guys have te quiero in Spanish. You have te quiero and te amo, right? So we see this difference in Greek. Yeah. And agape is a sacrificial love. And so Demas, Paul says, he is one who loved the world this age. Mm. And so it's the entrapment of the flesh, the entrapment of the body. But the much more dangerous is the one who is not just entrapped in the body, but also stays. So he abandons Paul. He's talking about Judas, who stayed and militated from within. We see this as very corrupt, and it's very dangerous when you have impure motives within the church. And you know, we talked about this before about the Maccabees, and maybe we can talk about it in the next segment. But it's we're at this point. We have to really, really encourage our faithful priest to stay on target, to stay on task.
Dan, what passages Demas talked about? Somebody just is asking right now.
Okay, yeah, it's 2 Timothy. 4:9, try to come to me soon, for Demas, enamored of the present world, deserted me and went to Thessalonica. So, 2 Timothy 4:9-10.
He became a worldling once again, just left the service of Christ and went back to the world. It also reminds me, Dan, of people that stay in the church and oftentimes as infiltrators. John the Apostle talks about that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. He says, dear children, this is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Close quote. So we've had this problem for 2,000 years, Dan. There's nothing new. But I want you to talk a little bit about where Fulton Sheen talks about. He says, who has the best comprehension of the demonic? Only those who are Christ-like. We know what clear water is like. We're offended by foul water. It's only because we know Christ that we begin to see evil in its depth, because evil is relational. Evil has no substance of its own. It is a parasite on goodness. Close quote.
Yeah, he's probably thinking of St. Thomas's description of evil and different types of evil. And Thomas likens it to darkness. Darkness is not it's a substance in and of itself. It's relational in the sense that darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is fills the void where light is no longer present. And so evil in the same way. Another analogy I think I've seen and used is how they train new bank tellers. They will never let their pure fingers ever touch a counterfeit bill. So when they start to count, if you ever, you know, you see them, the bank tellers just zip, 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 zip with their fingers checking bills. Immediately when they touch it, it'll kick it out. It'll kick it out and sense it right away. So we can sense the phony from the real by knowing the more deeply we know the real, the better we can identify the false. And if we do this with modern, money, in these simple situations, in the spiritual realm, this is how much more applicable. This is why we try to preserve our children, preserve their innocence as long as we can, so that they can grow in their knowledge of Christ, so that when the evil does come to them, they can pick it up and spit it out right away, and not just immerse them, enculturate them into this modern culture, which is becoming more and more pagan.
Dan, I find it very interesting that Venerable Fulton Sheen, He says, the more Christ-like we are, the deeper is our vision of the evils in the world and the evils that can creep into the church. So Fulton Sheen is saying something that was said by Pope Leo XIII, that the smoke of Satan has come into the church. St. John Paul II said that we have now entered into the time of the church versus the anti-church, the gospel versus the anti-gospel. Pope Paul VI, he also said in 1974 that the smoke of Satan has entered into some crevice in the Catholic Church. Our Lady of Good Success, some 400 years ago, warned us about the corruption, the infiltration of the diabolical into the clergy. Our Lady of Fatima, Sister Lucia, wrote a letter back in 1970 talking about the diabolical disorientation after Vatican II. Our Lady of Akita, Japan, has also talked about the corruption of the clergy by the diabolical. So Fulton Sheen stands on the shoulders of giants making this statement that evil has crept into the church. What do you say, Dan?
Yeah, Jesus also says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we have to be in the world, but not of the world. And we have to support those good priests out there that are fighting the good fight, because it really is become, you know, if you, I'm a bit of a student of Roman military history. So once the Roman military machine, this infantry machine of heavy infantry would break the rank of the opponent, it was just, the slaughter was game on, and it was just scattering. So at some point, this is what the enemy is trying to do us, to break our ranks, to scatter us so the cavalry can come in and start the slaughter. And we have to hold fast. We have to hold fast, hold the line, so to speak. We have to continue, as the opening says in this program, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. You know, one of the pictures behind me is from a friend of mine, a Vietnam veteran, and it's a picture of a Cobra helicopter, which I flew a different version of this. And they would do a maneuver called a return to target, where they would go down on the target, they would come up, come to a zero, they would go a negative G tail turn and come right back down on their target. And this is what we have to keep doing. We have to keep hitting our target. We come up, we come back down. We have to just keep pummeling the target with prayer and supporting those warrior priests out there that are faithful. The bulk of our priests are faithful priests. We just need to keep supporting him. You know, Father Altman, these other priests that are faithful, afraid that aren't going to give in to the zeitgeist, to the spirit of this age, and to continue to militate. And how do we do that? What are the weapons we use? The basic weapons: prayer, rosary, the Eucharist. Venerable Sheen says the Eucharist is this is the epicenter. This is the battleground between Christianity and Satanism. And it's interesting. He says they both are going to say in the end, as you often say, there's only two teams. In the end, either Christ says to that soul, mine, or Satan says to that soul, mine. And in this age, the Eucharist is the epicenter. And we hear this phrase coming from both. This is my body. Right. This is my body, the Eucharistic body, or the body, the battle cry of the abortionist, which is the unbloody sacrifice of Christ represented on Calvary versus the bloody sacrifice of abortion. We see the epicenter, this claim of mine. This is my body, and it's going to be through Eucharistic adoration and Eucharistic devotion. And this really, you know, Dr. Mark Marivalli and other Mariologists have suggested that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, which was laid forth and first mentioned by Our Lady in the improved apparition of Fatima, some speculation is that triumph of the Immaculate Heart is a return to the early patristic period where the Eucharist was the center center of religious worship. It was the center of the Catholic faith, and not just something, oh, this is what we do, we gather around the table and have this you know, kind of a cool meal, you know, a community meal. In the early church, in the patristic, particularly at the very beginning, once the hierarchy began to be formed, the Eucharist became the center of Christian faith. It meant to be what it meant to be a Christian was to be a Eucharistic center. This is why the early claim against the Christian was that they were cannibals, because they ate the flesh of their own God. So the Eucharist is the center, and you're going to hear this battle cry: "This is my body," right? Us gathering behind the body of Christ. Or this is my body, the battle cry. of the modern age.
Yep, that's right. Dan, also Fulton Sheen also said, how long will this conflict with the forces of evil last? It is now intensifying and it centers so much in the Eucharist, just like you said, which brings us to the necessity of the Holy Hour. Sheen says, I don't know if you have many tabernacles robbed. We do. In one diocese, there were two. The two country parishes within 7 miles of each other. The Blessed Sacrament was stolen. Corpuses torn off. The crucifix. So, Dan, what he's describing back in the 70s is still happening right now. We have Black Lives Matter. We have, other Antifa, other anarchist groups that are trying to do this. Even in other countries in Latin America, this is still happening. The Mexicans, they saw this happening during the Cristero persecution. Communist Chinese have seen this, the taking down of the crucifixes from their churches and putting on the face of a president, of Prime Minister Xi or whatever his name is. And so the more things change, the more things stay the same. Dan, what do you say?
Absolutely. We see this again. We were talking about it earlier on the Book of Maccabees, what was going on. You know, you have civil unrest.
You're
you have a deconstruction.
Hold that story. I want you to get into that whole story in the second segment because we've only got like 2 minutes and I don't want you to cut that story in half. But
okay, so but you're absolutely right. It's the tearing down and destruction of all things. It has to come first. There must be a deconstruction of the sacred, and we're seeing it again and again. Even in our within 10, 20 miles within a driving distance of an hour or so, I've seen multiple churches desecrated, and the same thing that Bishop Sheen is describing here happens there. Desecration of the Blessed Sacrament, the stealing of the Blessed Sacrament, desecration of crucifixes, a blood-colored paint sprinkled everywhere, obviously some ritualistic desecration taking place. This is happening all over the country. It's not really discussed. It's not really something that makes the news, but it's something that I would venture to say that most every diocese is getting because the satanic forces are becoming, more emboldened in their work, and we have to just be more emboldened in our own work. And Fulton Sheen gives us the formula: get on our knees, right, and roll up our sleeves and get to work in prayer.
Amen.
Storm heaven through prayer. Eucharistic holy hours. We have to return to that. The 40-hour devotion. We just did one at our parish last weekend before the election. Daily encounters with the Blessed Sacrament is absolutely essential for everyone who wants to be a warrior for Christ. You've got to have Eucharistic touches every day if possible.
Amen. Dan's going to be sharing an incredible story in the Book of Maccabees, and he's going to draw a direct parallel to what's happening right now in our culture. You don't want to miss it. Jesus 911, Lord, come to our assistance. That's what Jesus is going to mean. We'll be right back.
A great man once said that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. Well, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose this war, and in so doing lose this great way of freedom of ours, history will report with the greatest astonishment that those that had the most to lose did the least to prevent it from happening. Well, I think it's high time now that we ask ourselves if we still even know the freedoms that were intended for us by our founding fathers. Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists, not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought. You weren't made to fit in, my brothers and sisters. You are born to stand out. Set yourself apart from this corrupt generation. Be saints. God bless you.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. Remember what Fulton Sheen said, that at the end of life, there's going to be two roads, and you're going to see one of two faces, the merciful face of Jesus Christ or the miserable face of Satan. And one of them is going to tell you for all eternity, mine, mine. Let's remember that we all have an exit interview with our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no do-over.
Maybe there's some irony. No do-overs. Yeah, there's no mulligans. It's in or out. The very first word that we usually utter as infants, mine, we're going to hear the very first words at our death, right? Hopefully we live for others so that Christ will claim us at our death.
Amen.
That great quote on there in the break from Jim Caviezel, he mentioned the phrase rendezvous with destiny. Yeah. And any military guys would recognize that is that comes from the battle song of the 101st Airborne. And that's, that great unit, one of the most historical units in the Army. We have a rendezvous with destiny. Google it. It's a beautiful, it'll get you fired up, right? And so that we need to get fired up just like soldiers. I hear stuff like Caviezel's speech here, and I'm like, yeah, let's do this. We have to keep militating and get the truth out there so that we can keep empowering Christians to keep fighting back.
Dan, so talk to us. How does the Book of Maccabees apply to what's happening right now? Is there a parallel?
Yeah, there is. I was looking at this. I was just doing a little teaching for last weekend. So I was just doing some research on the word epiphany. And epiphany means it was a pagan term where a god comes down in human form. And so we see in the Book of Maccabees, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. Of course, it's a mockery of the true God who came down in human form, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. But as I looked more into this blasphemous world leader, Antiochus the Fourth, we start to see some patterns. This is the water boy coach, Mr. Coach Klein, little secret playbook, the green book. This book, the playbook that the enemy's been playing against God's people for a long time. So we see after Alexander the Great died, two military generals, Ptolemy and Seleucid, split the kingdom in half. There was civil unrest, and then Second Maccabees. At the very beginning in 1:11, it says, let us go. There appeared in Israel men who were breakers of the law. They seduced many people, saying, let us go and make alliance with the Gentiles all around us. Since we separated from them, many evils have come upon us. So we see this in the time of civil unrest. There is a movement within Judaism or the Jewish people to assimilate. And then in the same opening chapter, verse 41, verse 41. Then the king wrote to the whole kingdom that all should be one people. So, in an appeal to bring together a human solidarity, what happened next was, if you keep reading, you see the temple get sacked, the sacred objects are desecrated, and so we start to see the deconstruction, and then little by little, religion becomes outlawed. And even there's even historical evidence recently found that some human sacrifice at this time. But it even says those who refuse to because what the Greeks would do here was they would replace, once Judaism was deconstructed, then all of a sudden you have the reconstruction of paganism, and that now becomes the religion. And anyone who resisted, it says, even their children. Those who had their children circumcised were put to death in keeping with the decree, with babies hung from their necks. So we see babies sacrificed. We see human sacrifice. We see sacking of the temple and the sacred objects under the guise of human fraternity. And then There was a threefold way. In 2 Maccabees 4:7, we see the high priest was garnered through illicit means, and so we have a corrupt priesthood. And now, how did they spread Hellenism? How did they spread the Greek culture instead of Jewish culture and customs and religion? In three ways. It was through theater, Hollywood. It was through athletics or the gymnasium, right? NBA, Black Lives Matters, infiltrating the athletic. And we also, we worship this today. We worship sports very much today in many ways. And then finally, through an education system or youth clubs, which were small learning centers to teach those to be, how to be Hellenized, or how, you know, the Jewish people would, the ones that surrendered to this would let their children be now enculturated into this pagan culture. And we see, I think we're seeing those same three things here in our own culture as well.
Same strategy.
It's been timed and tested. In the name of peace, in the name of solidarity, let us stop the unrest, and let's, religion is the cause of problems. So if you guys would just stop practicing your religion, everybody's going to back off and there'll be peace, right? And so as long as you guys back off, we'll back off. But that's not the case. We see, because again, the movement behind it is very dark, and it's going to push against. And so you see the two groups within. Among the Jews at this time, you had the Ascetic and the Reform. The Ascetic wanted to live true to the faith of their fathers and to live out Judaism, their own faith, according to their own dictates. And then the Reform wanted to find some common ground, so to speak, with the modern age, and secularization comes into play after that. So I think there's a lot of parallels to us and a lot of fruit for our own meditation on this.
Absolutely. Dan Fulton Sheen also says, In this small little vignette that we played, he says, where there is a priest offering the black mass, there is no need of stealing the host, but there must be a consecrated host for a black mass. Everything will be said backwards in the black mass. The Our Father will be said backwards. Prayers will be said backwards. And when the priest joins the movement, they have the body of Christ to re-crucify. I think he's talking about it. If a Catholic priest apostatizes and does this, that's what my understanding. He says, so much so that some of our churches have had to install lights and cameras on the tabernacle. Satan is not lax. He believes in the real presence. So this is happening back in the 60s and 70s as you wrote this. Same thing's happening right now, Dan. I mean, we know that Satan tries to imitate God. We know that what he wants to do. Satanists believe in the real presence, but they don't adore, or they won't follow Jesus. They just believe that that's Jesus. But all they want to do is commit sacrilege, because in some way, shape, or form, by profaning the Holy Eucharist, you know, that we know where Christ is truly present, Satanists, I guess they project that they're doing our Lord some harm, or they're harming him. But Dan, nothing has changed right now. Fulton Sheen was talking about this 50 years ago. We see the same thing right now. I had to escort a witch out of a parish a couple of years ago when I was living here in Southern California, Guardian Angel Church. A witch came in to try to steal the Eucharist. I saw, and I escorted her out, and she kind of resisted. I had to grab her wrist and just walk her out, and I called the cops, and I had her booked for, it's a misdemeanor in California. It's called disturbing a religious service. So I called the LAPD, and they came and they arrested her. I pressed charges. I said, that's a witch. She came to steal the Eucharist. I caught her, and I'm escorting her out. I mean, this happens all the time.
Yeah. Listen to this from 2 Maccabees 4, and tell me if there's any parallels. Hmm. The craze for Hellenism and foreign customs reached such a pitch. Hellenism is Greek culture. Okay.
Got it.
That through such outrageous wickedness of the ungodly pseudo high priest Jason, that the priest no longer cared about the service of the altar, disdaining, again, they were seeking culture and cultural approbation and not the service of the altar, disdaining the temple and neglecting the sacrifices, they hastened at the signal for discus throwing to take part in the unlawful exercises on the athletic field. They despised what their ancestors had regarded honors, while they highly prized what the Greeks esteemed as glory. Precisely because of this, they found themselves in serious trouble. The very people whose manner of life they emulated and whom they desired to imitate in everything became their enemies and oppressors. Mm. It is no light matter to flout the laws of God, as the following period will show. We're seeing this again, the attempt to enculturate under some guise, some Freemason guise of let us have this united brotherhood of humanity. It's very dangerous because there's going to be a bait and switch very quickly once we start to abandon our customs. And we have to live the Catholic faith as our fathers. One of my favorite, you know, it's a fairly modern hymn, but it's a great hymn, Faith of Our Fathers, Holy Faith. We will stay true to thee till death. Mm-hmm. We have to stay continue the march, you know, Charlie Mike, we have to continue this. And it's going to be living by the disciplines that we've learned and handed down to us through the tradition of the church.
Dan, yesterday when when Bob Floyd and myself and Armando, when we were walking into these botanicas, they know which is the one true religion because everything, all the articles and the material things that they sell there, they all parallel some type of Catholic relic, Catholic, you know, custom, Catholic artifact, some type of Catholic sacramental. They even in many of these places, when we walked in, they have their own like sacrament of confession. I mean, you got the curandera, you got the witch in a back room, and you know people are lined up and stuff, and they're going back there as we were around there shopping. And it's funny, but I think the witch, they can, this one in one particular, she could sense that we were not clients. She knew that we were there for intel because she was not happy with us. We just came from Mass. So we were.
You smelled. You had the aroma of Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
Your lips were still purpled. Yeah.
She came out of her little confessional box and said, what do you want here? You know, in Spanish. And then she saw it was three of us. And she knew we weren't customers. She could sense it. And she said, there's too many of you here. You guys have to leave. There's too many. So,
I did a recon mission not long ago for somebody. I went into one of the botanicas, and what's interesting is this was a lower level one. They have a back room that I knew I could tell that there was some funky stuff going on back there. But in the front, in this particular one, which is very common, it's that they're selling seemingly holistic foods and herbs and these things. But if you start to search, there's love potions, there's warding off of spirits. So what they do is, you know, I mean, so on one level, like I'm just going to Whole Foods. I'm just drinking this herbal tea. But if you want to fall in love with somebody or someone to fall in love with you. So this is the entryway. This is low level stuff, but this is how they lure low information Catholics into the occult. And little by little, they get drawn into the deep. Next thing you know, they're in the back room doing deeper rituals, as you saw.
Yep, exactly. Or getting their tarot cards read.
And they can smell us when we walk in, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, they can smell me in every single place. Jesus 911, Dan Schneider, Jess Romero. We're going to talk about the occult component to Black Lives Matter.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. Two-man car just from error. Dan Schneider. Dan, without a doubt, we all know this, but it's worth mentioning it again. Dan Burke wrote an article about the occult spirituality of Black Lives Matter. And he writes here something that jumps out at me. He says, even so, what if, as a faithful Catholic, you discover that a group ostensibly dedicated to combating racism, a group with which you've aligned yourself, achieve their ends by conjuring demons to aid them? Most believing Catholics would run for the hills upon even the possibility of something like this, especially those few who, like me, Dan Burke, have assisted in exorcisms and experienced his firsthand destructive power of the demonic. Having the devil as a partner in any action corrupts all the good and militates against any authentic remedy. Seeking aid from the enemy of souls is why exorcists and dioceses around the country experience nonstop demands for deliverance. So what he's talking about, Dan, he's talking about Patrice Cullors, the executive director of Black Lives Matter, Melina Abdullah, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles. And I mean, they have openly admitted that, here's Patricia Cullors in her own words, in my tradition, you offer things that your loved ones who have passed away would want, whether it's like honey or tobacco, things like that. It's important that we be in direct relationship with the dead. She says, hashtags for us are way more than a hashtag. It's literally almost resurrecting spirits that are going to work through us to get the work done. And Melina Abdullah goes a little bit further. She says, what's happened as we invoke these names is the invocation of their names that goes beyond remembering them. We call out our ancestors. We call them out for specific purposes. So Dan Burke, who runs spiritualdirection.com, is saying some Catholics who are very sympathetic to Black Lives Matter. In fact, there was even a group of bishops, I think, in El Paso, Texas, that took a knee with the bishop and all these priests, and they had signs Black Lives Matter. Dan Burke is saying, wait a minute, it's time. Whatever sympathy you may have had for that phrase, Black Lives Matter, okay, because that's a true statement. It's the organization that Dan Burke is saying, these guys are connected with the diabolical. These guys are calling evil spirits to carry on their nefarious activity. At this point, a Catholic has to part company. No bishop or priest or lay Catholic should be bending their knee or holding Black Lives Matter signs. These guys are completely in bed with the diabolical, and that's what Dad Burn is doing. He's calling people to account. Dan?
Yeah, you see the pattern, the same we discussed in the last segment. You see this under the guise of human solidarity and justice, we now have a now admittedly spiritual movement. The supplanting of truth. Where does our true solidarity come from? Right. as humans? It comes through our union with Christ. This is what the word Catholic means, to Catholicos. It means universal. Our solidarity comes through Jesus Christ. We are all one in Christ. And in justice, what is our justice? Our justice is our standing of our union with God, right? Our union with God through Christ is true justice. Spiritual justice, our souls clean and purified in a state of grace. This is where our justice and unity come from. And then at the same time, the churches, as we start to, you know, I've taught this, and I've had clergy say, no, we don't believe this church militant, church triumphant, this threefold church militant, church triumphant, and church suffering. We don't, that's old, preconciliar stuff, notions. That's not. This is our understanding, the ancient understanding of the church. We're united together. We invoke the saints and they come. When if you've been in part of an exorcism or deliverance team, when the saints' names are called, you can the presence come. The diabolic recognizes it. And so now the same thing, the use of sacramentals. As Catholics, we use sacramentals, scapulars, St. Benedict's crucifixes, etc., the miraculous medal. These are great sacramentals. Well, you see the Black Lives Matter is doing these things as well. Instead of our solidarity in Christ under one church, we have solidarity and chaos and anarchy in the streets. Instead of justice with God, we have and peace with one another, we have a lack of justice and unrest and civil unrest. Instead of sacramentals, we now see the self same belief in what a technical term is, inanimate agency, the ability of an inanimate object to convey a spiritual power. You know, this is my Ranger bead rosary. I made this out of beads, pace count beads. It's a pretty cool rosary, and it's a good soldier's rosary. This is the St. Benedict medal, which is a great medal, using the inanimate object to convey the power of Christ in the church. This is why we use sacramentals. And then finally, in this understanding of anamnesis, the ultimate anamnesis, this calling, making present, is do this in anamnesis, in memory of me, through the Holy Eucharist. And now we see the spirituality of the invoking of and making present. Conjuring is the more pagan term of it. We talk about making present and conveying the divine, and in and through inanimate objects such as sacramentals, but also ultimately through the priest calling down Christ, making Christ present on the altars. So we're seeing this inversion of what is sacred.
Yeah, you said something around that. It just jumped out at me. The fact, you know, when we pray as Catholics, we're making. Even psychologists say that when you think and imagine things, you make present. So even psychology teaches that. Now, theology teaches prayer begets what it signifies. The word is anamnesis. Basically, prayer makes something present.
Makes present.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the world of the occult, they also believe in the same thing. They just don't say anamnesis. They say, like you said, conjuring. But yeah. So they use conjuring like we use anamnesis. We're making the holy things present through our prayer. Psychologists will tell you the same thing. Psychologists will say, and psychiatrists, they say, that's why they say you got to control your thoughts and stuff and, you know, take those negative thoughts away, because your imagination, psychologists and psychiatrists say, it brings those things present to the present moment, and that's what causes whatever stress or, you know. And so there's an understanding there, a deep understanding that words mean things.
Imagine that.
Yeah, words mean things. I've heard Rush Limbaugh say that for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's the master at words. He says words mean things, and Catholicism, we definitely know that. And Patricia Cullors and Melina Abdullah, here's what Melina Abdullah says, two of the founders of Black Lives Matter. Of the three founders, here's what Melina said. She says, quote, "What's happened as we invoke these names is the invocation of their names that goes beyond remembering them. We call out our ancestors. We call them out for specific purposes." So she understands we're not just saying the names of our ancestors or you know, some demonic spirits that they're calling out from the African tradition. She's saying we're calling them out for a specific purpose. What is it? Attack our enemies to
It's working, because I read a statistic last week from a law enforcement organization that I'm on an email list, that police killed in a line of duty is up 99% in the last year. You know, and it's working. It's working. We have to continue to pray for these guys, these like your sons that are out there that are willing to make the sacrifice, whether it's to make the sacrifice in foreign lands for our country or make the domestic sacrifice right here. Because, and we have to understand that we have to arm ourselves with prayer. This is what, again, going back to the Maccabees, in the end, they armed themselves with prayer, invoking the name of the Lord. And this is what we have to do on behalf of all those young men and women out there that are front, you know, first line defenders and protectors for us.
Dan, and the article says, written by Burke, he says, whether well intended or not, those in the Catholic Church who align with the organization Black Lives Matter Foundation, Inc., align themselves with a spiritual movement that uses witchcraft to demonic conjure spirits. And so any Catholic, I don't care if they're a bishop or a priest, you cannot support or endorse or sanction this diabolical movement.
Yeah. No, yeah. This is like, hey, I don't particularly agree with, David Duke and the KKK and some of their actions, but they have a lot of good points that we need to talk about, and we're going to endorse them. And we're going to endorse their philosophy, not necessarily their personal beliefs. This is false. If I'm hanging out with KKK members, guess what? That tells you a lot about me. We have to vet these movements and not just jump in on some false secular notion of solidarity. We have to really understand the deep meaning behind it and really get back to our Catholic roots. What does it mean to be Catholic? What does it mean to be universal? What is the Catholic understanding? Again, we saw in the last segment on the Maccabees, once the Hellenistic culture deconstructed Judaism in the name of solidarity, what was put in its place? Paganism. And those who were willing to make sacrifices, and we see this in another interesting thing in this period of the Maccabees, is the first instant in scripture of martyrdom for the faith. The first time we see martyrs, the seven sons that were martyred in front of the mother, you know, that was part of this revolt. And we see, as you take down God's presence in the tabernacle, what is placed? A statue of Zeus. Right? A statue of a false god. And so man, as you and I have studied under some of the same philosophers, man is homo religioso. We are a religious being. We're spiritual by nature. And we cannot live in this a-spiritual void, this a-religious void, that we are drawn to our creator. As Augustine says, he sought God and all these things, and our hearts is restless, and it finds rest only in thee. But there's false places that our hearts find rest that fills this void of spirituality. And I think the BLM movement is starting to show itself for what it is. It's a false spirituality that behind it, but it's also a very empowering spirituality. It's very concerning what's happening. What the law enforcement has been on the front lines fighting against this stuff for the past, what, 8-9 months now.
That's right. And I'll tell you, Dan, whatever they're invoking, whether they know it or not, they're invoking demons.
Oh, sure. We know that this idea of disembodied spirits, et cetera, we could do a whole segment on that. But yeah, they're invoking evil spirits. And this is very clear from scripture and the tradition of the church as well. Yeah. We avoid that stuff. We invoke Christ and in and through Christ, the saints that the church has declared as saints. And that's it.
Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, get holy or die trying. Know your Catholic faith. Live your Catholic faith. Spread your Catholic faith. We're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Jesus 911, we're 10-7. We're off duty. We're out. Dan Schneider, Jess Romero. See you next time. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. Up next, Gary Machuda. Hands-on apologetics coming to you from the Midwest Command Center. Don't change that dial. Also, remember the words of St. Father Pio: pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. We're out. 10-7.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.